Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
Lord, we thank you that you're here with us. Jesus said, wherever we gather in his name, he's there in the midst. You're here with us. You inhabit the praises of your people. You never leave us nor forsake us. You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Whenever we call upon you, you will answer us. You will be there in trouble. You will deliver us. You will satisfy us with long life and show us your salvation. You will surround us with your angels. They will protect us with their hands. They will uplift us. They will hold us above all of the attacks of the enemy. You are good. Your love endures forever, and we thank you for it. Come on, church. Give God a praise. That's why we love him. That's why our hearts adore him. Everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, come on, give God a praise. Before you sit down, we're going to do something. We're going to start doing something a little bit different. This is the time normally when we release the hounds. No, it's not. It's the kids. We release the kids. And normally they go out the back door. And if you haven't checked them in yet, you check them in. But we're wanting to encourage you to check them in before the service. Because we want to send the kids out with a special blessing. Okay? So, might be a little bit awkward for the first couple of weeks because we're doing something different, but this is what we're going to do. If you've got children who are about to go through to kids' church and they have already been checked in, send them down the front right now. And also if the teachers, if our kids' teachers and team can come down the front. Now, if you have not checked your kids in yet, hold on to them. Because you're going to check them in a minute, okay? But so this is what we want to do. This is what we want to do on Sundays from now on at this point in the service. We want to invite all the kids and the kids' workers down the front. We want to pray a blessing on them, and then we're going to send them out that door. They're able to go straight through to kids' church. The ones that aren't checked in, we'll need to go out the back door, check them in, and then they can go to kids' church. Might take us 2 or 3 weeks to master this, but then it's going to work beautifully, isn't it? Amen. Right, come on. Reach out your hands to the kids that are already checked in and the ones that are going to be checked in. Father, we thank you that Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them because the kingdom of God belongs to them. We pray a blessing upon all of the children who are here today and all the ones who are part of the church at South Edmonton. May they come to know you, may they come to grow in you, and may they come to share your love with others. Bless them and the teachers and helpers today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, give them a big God bless you as they go out the side door there. Go ahead and take a seat. Everyone, if you are new to Case, then it's great to have you here today. You hopefully will have picked up one of the Connect cards that were mentioned earlier on. But one thing that I want you to know about is that this weekend is a special weekend because it is the Easter weekend. And so we have two services, actually one service that we're doing twice, but you can come to it twice. Come to it on Good Friday at 4 p.m. Be blessed. Be so blessed that you spend all day on Saturday recruiting people to bring back on Sunday morning. and we'll do it all over again. So this is your last chance to pick up one of these cards, take it with you, and use it to invite someone either on Friday or on Sunday to our Good Friday and our Easter Sunday services. We're going to use these, aren't we?
Yeah.
This, what about this side of the room? Yeah. We're going to use these? Right, okay. I've given up on that side, but I've not given up on you yet. So, today is the last Sunday of our mini Lent series we've been doing. We've been looking at the season of Lent. And you might remember we started off with a message called Jesus, the Son of God. And it was about the baptism of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry. And how when he was baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased." And we saw that Jesus, yes, he was the Son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. But now he is the firstborn, because we are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So you're God's beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. Okay? You need to get the idea in your mind that God's default position is to be pleased with you, not disappointed in you. Okay? And so we looked at Jesus, the Son of God. Then we looked at his temptation in the wilderness. And then we looked at how he taught and revealed the Father. And today we're finishing. Today is Palm Sunday. And we're going to do some palm reading today, okay? Today is Palm Sunday, and we're going to read about palms. We're not going to do palm reading. We're going to read about palms. And we're going to have a look at what Palm Sunday is actually all about. Because most of the Palm Sunday services I've been to or have seen usually stop two sentences too soon. And they miss what the whole conclusion of the story was. And what we're going to see is the story concludes with the fact that Jesus is a healer. And if he is in our midst, wherever we gather in his name, he is in our midst. And if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, then he's still a healer. Is that right? And so, we're going to conclude our Palm Sunday service the same way Jesus concluded Palm Sunday, with healing and prayer and faith and miracles. Are you up for it? Okay, so let's have a look. Let's go first of all to our passage of Scripture. We're in Matthew 21, and it says, "As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives." What you need to realize is when you're on the Mount of Olives, imagine that big bass speaker there is where the city of Jerusalem is on Mount Zion. And imagine that big speaker there is the Mount of Olives, and there's a valley in between. When you're on the Mount of Olives, you're at perfect eye level with the city of Jerusalem and with the temple, okay? And so they're there on the Mount of Olives. They're at this village. They see this. Anyway, and it says here, "And Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there. Go down that mountain, and there's a village in the valley. Stop at the village," right? Because we're on our way to that mountain. And he says, "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them.'" I'm going to try that sometime. You know, it's a nice car here. It's not locked. If anyone tries to stop me, I'm just going to say, the Lord needs it. I'm going to give that a shot in a few things. So, we should all try that this week, some way or other. And we should report back on progress. Okay. And then it says, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy. This is important. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. Now, this is an interesting prophecy from the Old Testament, that when the Messiah would come, when the king would come, he would be riding on a donkey, not on a white horse. Do you know, people did ride on horses, they rode on camels, and they rode on donkeys. Camels were normally to take you long distances, especially across dry areas and so on. And camels plod slowly, but they take you along long distances. Donkeys also plod fairly slowly, but they were just for the local area. They would get you around town, you know. So you would say, if you had a donkey, you would say, this is just my little runaround car, right? It's just for getting around town. One careful owner only drove it on Sundays. It's now being sold on Kijiji, you know, that kind of thing. Some people have a little runaround donkey, but they have a camel for going to the mountains, right? So you have but then there was the horse, and the main people who rode horses were soldiers, were warriors. The Messiah wasn't coming as a warrior. Now, he was a warrior, but not a physical warrior. It's called the triumphal entry because it's a triumph. He is triumphant. He is victorious. The Messiah conquers us, not by force, but by winning us over, by winning our hearts. It's almost like when Christ comes into your life, it's like the triumphal entry. It's like the doors, not of Jerusalem, but of your heart are open. And Christ comes in as the victor. He has conquered you. All of your arguments, all of your reasons why you shouldn't follow him, all of your desires to go the opposite direction have all been conquered. You know, C.S. Lewis, the famous author C.S. Lewis, was an atheist before he became a Christian. And there's a really interesting part in his testimony about how he became a Christian. Basically, he was conquered, right? He said he had all these arguments about why God couldn't be real and Christianity wasn't true and all of that kind of stuff, but he felt like he was fighting a losing battle. And he said one day he was sitting at his desk and he simply said, all right, God, I give in. That was it. All right, God, I give in. You win. The triumphal entry into his life of salvation. Christ won his heart over. I'll never forget when the night my dad became a Christian. I was saved. My mother was saved. We were the only two in the family at that point. We were going to a healing service that night, and my father surprised us. As we were walking out the door, he said, I'll come with you. My goodness, we almost got slain in the spirit right there in the living room. And we said, so, yeah, fine, okay. So we go to this church, and the preacher preaches on how to pray for your unsaved family members. And then at the end of it, he leads us in a prayer in which he says, visualize right now the unsaved family member that you're praying for. Well, I'm sitting here, my mother's sitting there, and my dad's sitting there, and he knows that we are, right? He knows that. And if you tried to witness to him, he had all these debates and all of these arguments. Anyway, my mother used to have her spine was slightly twisted, which made her walk with a limp. It made like one leg slightly shorter than the other, although the legs were actually the same size. It was the spine was twisted, which put her hips out a little bit. Anyway, at the end, we all stand up, and this guy on the platform starts to pray, and then he says, "There's a woman over here being healed of a twisted spine." Boom! My mother fell right on my dad's feet. He panicked. And I'm trying to be cool, and I'm saying, "It's just the Holy Spirit, just..." And she stands up and she's like, "I'm healed." And then the guy says, "If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, come down the front." My dad was the most reluctant convert you ever saw in your life. He walked down the front like this. If you can't beat them, join them. If you tried to talk to him, he would have argued with you. But he was conquered by the power and love of God. That was what happened, right? And so it says here that he's coming on a donkey. He's coming humbly. He's a conqueror, but he will conquer your heart. He will conquer your mind. He will cast down all the idols that you've put up in your temple. And he will come to this temple. Right. Now, Jesus didn't just fulfill that prophecy. My next slide says this. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies. There were prophecies about the Messiah coming, about how someone that would be born of a woman would crush the serpent's head, about how another prophet like Moses would be raised up, about how a Savior would be born to a virgin woman of Israel, that they would be a descendant of Abraham from a covenant that God made with Abraham, a descendant of Abraham. From one branch of Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, from one tribe, the tribe of Judah, from one family group of the household of King David. On and on and on, that he would be called a Nazarene. He would come from Nazareth, yet he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, the town of David. And all the prophecies, one after another, go on. One of the prophecies they knew was when the Messiah would come, it said in the book of Isaiah, that blind eyes would be open, deaf ears would hear, and the lame would leap for joy. Healing was part of their belief, but they were looking for messianic quality miracles. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears, and he begins fulfilling over 300 prophecies about who the Savior would be. Now, let's read on. Let's go to the next verse. It says this. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." See, the Son of God, but the Son of David, fully human, and from a particular family group, a fulfillment of prophecy. "Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens." The entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, what happened here was something that we see quite often at this time of year. Here's a picture of what the triumphal entry would look like. So we see things like this all the time on the TV or in church around about Easter. We see Jesus there on a donkey riding into the streets of Jerusalem. People there with palm branches in their hands, waving them and so on. Now, we don't really get the significance of it all. There's a couple of things that are significant. We think this is a religious symbol. So the only time we would see people waving palm branches like this would be to do with Palm Sunday and Jesus entering Jerusalem. But what we don't realize is in that culture, this would be very similar to what we would do with a ticker tape parade. Put the next slide up. So you've got, you know, the Oilers win the cup. Because miracles do happen, and they enter into the city of Edmonton, and everyone is cheering them on, and confetti is flying about everywhere. We're cheering on our champions. That's what we do in our culture. Now, can you go back to the previous picture again? That was what they did to cheer on their champions in their culture. They took their garments off and waved them. You know, I used to go to Nigeria regularly, and during a worship service in Nigeria, I don't know if this is common throughout Nigeria or just the churches I visited, I don't know. But if the praise and worship really got noisy, do you know what people started to do when it really got boisterous? They would pull out white handkerchiefs and wave their white hat. Well, I've never seen anybody in Canada waving a snotty handkerchief in the air, but they do it. That's part of their culture. In this culture, it was palm leaves, and sometimes it would be like cloaks and things like that. You would wave them about because a celebrity, more than a celebrity, a champion had just arrived. Now, let me tell you something else interesting about palm leaves. Throughout the Bible, we are likened to trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. We bring forth our fruit in season. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and all of that. And our leaf does not wither. And this is a small palm tree, but you know, there's big palm trees that these little, what's that called? A sprong or something? Or whatever. These little bits are big. Do you know that palm trees not only grow fruit, bananas or pineapples or whatever, but they grow big leaves? And leaves were used in that culture for wrapping gifts. If I was given a gift to you, I didn't go and buy wrapping paper at Chapters and then wrap it up. I would take a big leaf and I would wrap the gift up, and you take the little strips and tie it, and I would give you a gift. Do you know that God intends for us to be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord? That our roots are supposed to go down deep? And do you know we are supposed to produce both the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? We are supposed to have both the character of Christ and the power of Christ. And so they're waving palm branches, which were used to wrap gifts, because God's gift has arrived on the scene. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And his Son came gifted, anointed with the Holy Spirit, with the power to heal. Let's look on. Let's read the last part of this passage. It said, Jesus entered the temple, left the Mount of Olives, sent the disciples ahead, left the Mount of Olives, got on the donkey, now goes into Jerusalem, enters the temple, and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those. I'm telling you, I've watched some guys on Christian TV, and I think, dude, you're in trouble when you see the Lord. If you send me $1,000 today, I have a little packet of miracle spring water from Jerusalem. Now, you got that out the tap. And even if it was from Jerusalem, water in Jerusalem is not magical, right? And selling the anointing, right? Selling the anointing. Then it says here, anyway, he knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he said to them, the scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. And in most places, and so endeth the lesson. But that's not the end. That's normally where we stop on Palm Sunday. But that's just brought us up to the whole point of Jesus coming to the temple. Now look, he drove out the money, den of thieves, all of that stuff. Now look, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and, say the next three words with me, he healed them, right? The blind and the lame came to them in the temple and he healed them. The leading priests and teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles that he did and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. The whole point of him getting on the donkey, riding into Jerusalem, going into the temple, and turning the money changers' tables over, the whole point of it was so he could fulfill and exercise his ministry and bring healing to those in need. There was no point in the whole journey if the healings were not at the end. That was the purpose of the whole thing. This was to fulfill prophecy. They knew the Messiah would heal the lame and the blind. It was one of the prophecies. And so this was the whole point. The whole point is that Jesus is our conquering victor. He has conquered the enemy. He has conquered sin. He has conquered sickness and disease. He's conquered anxiety and fear. There now is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. You know, there's so many things that God wants to do in our life, and I think very often we close the book, we close the lesson before we've actually received the blessing. And Jesus started his ministry by saying he was a healer. I want to just close with this last slide. It tells us Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, put my last one up, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who have been oppressed and bruised and tormented in any area of life. I believe Jesus is the same today. How about you? If God's house is a house of prayer, and if prayer changes things, and if immediately after saying that, Jesus healed the sick, then I think in God's house today, we should be praying. We should be praying for healing. We should be asking for wonderful miracles. Yeah, but we're just human. You know, we can't, only God can, only God can do it. But if humans are anointed, and if the anointing of the Holy Spirit is here, then the Holy Spirit can work and change things. I want to encourage us all to stand right now. We're going to enter into a little bit of worship in a moment. But right now, If you need a healing touch from God today, if you want prayer and the laying on of hands for God to move in your life and to bring healing to you, give me a wave right now so I can see how many. Okay, all of you people, I want to encourage you to come down the front. Some members of the council are coming to join me right now. We're going to lay hands on you. And I want us all to participate in this. Do you know, I'm not the healer. Ron's not the healer. Tracy's not the healer. Jesus is the healer. But I want you to know something. Jesus is the head and we are the body. Do you know that you are members of the body of Christ? Christ is the healer, but he heals through his body. Okay? Right, if you could try and all get into one row, that would really be helpful. Ron, take charge here, will you? Sort these people out. Right, everyone who's back there, I want you to reach your hands out to these people, because you're going to impart the healing blessing as well, okay? So reach out your hands to them. If you're in the front row, I would like you to just put out your hands in front of you. You're receiving a gift. And the people behind you and in front of you, we are imparting a gift. Okay? So let's all say, not the people standing in the front, you just receive, but everybody else, let's say this together. Father God, I bring before you my brothers and sisters who need to be healed. May the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit come upon them mightily and heal and make whole in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.